that's where these built-in inefficiencies come from. But that's your life, and you start taking that away, and people like, you'll start accomplishing so much. But I get a lot done because I know exactly the way that I want to live, and everything is aligned with those values.
The Happy Healthy Human Podcast will help you build your happy, healthy life. Your host, Paul Levitin, is a board-licensed health and wellness coach, nutrition coach, personal trainer, and behavior change specialist with over 10 years of experience helping people create positive life change. Each week, he discusses topics that will help you understand yourself, why you do the things you do, and how to take steps to create the life of your dreams. He talks with experts from therapists to addictions counselors, coaches, trainers, CEOs, financial planners, and more. If you've ever wondered how can you become the best, happiest, healthiest version of yourself, you've come to the right place.
What's up, humans? It's your host, Paul Levitin, and today's guest is the one and only Chris Duffin. Chris's objective and vision in life is to help people live better through strength in all its forms. He has built multiple businesses and holds multiple world records in strength and athletic feats, such as being the only person in the world to squat and deadlift over 1,000 pounds for reps. And if you're someone who doesn't weightlift, just know that that is a lot. And that's on top of being a multi-patent holding inventor, the co-founder and chief visionary officer at Kabuki Strength, and the author of the best-selling memoir, The Eagle and the Dragon. All of this coming from a childhood upbringing in which he dealt with homelessness and actually living in the wilderness. All of that is to say, this guy is impressive. He is smart, and he is the perfect example that anyone can come from literally nothing and accomplish anything if they dedicate themselves to the journey. I hope this conversation inspires you as much as it did for me. All right, so let's get into it.
All right, Chris, being that you are, with no exaggeration, something I would call a Renaissance man, and that you've had so much success in so many very different fields, I want to start by asking, how do you define success?
Good question. So to me, definition of success really relies around the people in your life. So it's more a way of living and being able to enact whatever change that you want, both through people and with people. And so it is, to me, just this being able to create a community that can both be part of that, but also the effect that you're having on the greater world. And then that it has to have some deep meaning as well, as far as like what you are doing. So it has to be tied to, you know, the values. And that's where I pointed out, like, the way that you live. But to me, it really comes down to the connections that you have in this world and the quality of those.
So I appreciate that. And I think that connections and who we are is only as good as what we can do with and for others. But you brought up the word values. So I'm wondering, what do values mean to you, and how do your values guide yourself as a man and yourself as a businessman?
Yeah, I think the word values or core values gets like really thrown around a lot, and people don't understand really the depth of what that is. And sometimes in business, it's just something that's thrown against the wall and people don't have any connection with. And to me, it's this deeper understanding of why you want the things that you want. And so that's a big part of the process for me, and understanding those is taking those things in life via career choices, jobs, physical, you know, things that you want, cars, vehicles, houses, whatever it is, and really diving deep and asking yourself the questions of why you want those things. And the further that you dig, you're going to get to a point where it's finally no longer a thing. So let's take some examples. I want to be a surgeon. I want to be an NFL star. I want to have a mansion with a whatever fancy car strikes your thing in the driveway. Why do you want those things? And there could be a lot of reasons. It could be prestige. It could be that means that, like, for me, like, why would I want those things? It would be it would be for security. You know, I had a really rough upbringing and didn't have anything for a long period of time. And security, knowing that I have the ability to make sure that I can take care of myself and my family, is a really underpinning thing. Is it the only thing? Certainly not. And I have other values that are actually competitive with that. But I bring that as an example, because if I chase the fancy house and the fancy car, I could over leverage myself to get those physical things and actually move backwards and be in a point in my life where I'm stressed out, I'm unhappy, and going, well, why am I hating this spot that I'm in life? This is everything that I wanted. This is everything that I was listening to the hustle entrepreneur porn. And they were saying, you know, to just go for that stuff and fuck the haters. They just want it too. And it's like, but then I got it and I'm not happy. Why is that? And so that's an important understanding, because once you start pushing that, you know, hey, I want to be an NFL star or a surgeon or whatever. For me, that would be the sense of challenge or competition. Maybe on the surgeon route, maybe it's because the thing that I want to have that is really core and cornerstone to me in my life is the process of continuous learning. So I'm just straight up saying what some of mine are here right now. You know, other ones include sense of family. It includes creativity. So these are things that you can never actually have, but you can not have them at the same time, right? So there are more ways of being. And if you do enough digging, you'll find that you've got like 5 to 7 pieces. So, you know, there's a couple ways of going about this, right? So one of those being what I was just saying, just keep asking the question and digging deeper layer by layer. It's could call it the 5 whys process. You could do a prioritization piece. John Berardi actually did this in the seminar where we met, pitting them against each other and going, well, which is the highest priority? For me, I have an interesting process called finding balance through extremes. And so it involves picking the couple that you really, really know and chasing those, and wherever possible, picking them that seem to be diametrically opposed. And that forces you to cut things away from your life and forces you to make those decisions to drop the things. And it helps you to find those reasons and that purpose. And so that's, it's a unique approach to that, but I found it very powerful. For example, you know, like chasing my 1,000-pound squat. I want somebody to have an absolute perfect squat. I want you to try to pull out every last imperfection and technique. And if I tell you that, a lot of people will go, well, I'm going to use no weight, maybe an empty bar, maybe a plate, but I'm just going to work on getting that form technique. And then I would tell you, well, I want you to put every last ounce of effort into it. Nothing on the table. And it's like, well, the perception of a lot of people is like, we're going to drop, everything's to the wind. Form doesn't matter. It's going to be ugly. And then I come back, no, I want both. I want both. And you actually can't, if you chase both, you'll find something beautiful in the center, because you're not going to find the perfection in technique unless you chase the edge of where you're breaking down, so you know what's broken and how to fix it. You're not going to be able to accomplish putting every last drop into it if you've got energy leaks and you're not chasing to eliminate every single one. And so when you chase these extremes, you're going to find something in the middle that is very beautiful and big. And so that's why I like that approach, because that's how I live life in the extremes. And I could give you examples with work-life balance and others, but it forces the finding those really cornerstone values. And that's just so important, because in life, we have a tendency to feel like we want to accomplish something and, or we're stressed out. Particularly when we're stressed out, we start making lists. We start doing stuff. We start getting stuff done. We start checking things off. Like, look at this. I got my to-do list. I made all my calls. I'm just cranking through stuff. Look at me. And that is a position I found myself in a lot of times when I was doing company turnarounds, was taken over for somebody that was worked their ass off, highly productive, yet the right things weren't happening. And so taking a step back, clearing the plate and going, what are the most important things? And I don't have to be sprinting. I just need to put one foot in front of the other today.
Right.
And so, tomorrow and the next day.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you distill things down, you understand your values and understand the million different ways. Okay. It's the NFL person. It's the surgeon. It's the whatever. You're not stuck in those roles. There's a lot of different ways that you can live and still have that. So you're not setting goals based necessarily on that. You're setting goals on ways to, I wouldn't say actualize, but to express mm-hmm. is the word I like to use, that allows you to express those values. And so if something happens, hey, I broke my hand and no longer I can be an orthopedic surgeon. It got destroyed and mangled up. Your life's not over. If you understand those underlying things and you can switch directions, you can switch paths, you can find another route. And you see this all the time with people in the sports world. We see big sports stars, you know, get to a point, not all, but many will get to a point of retiring and they fall into despair. They fall into depression, alcohol use, drug use, because they don't know why they did what they did. And they have trouble switching paths. And so they lost themselves because their identity was wrapped up in that thing.
I love everything that you just said about, you know, like having an ability to express your values and, you know, that kind of being your guiding light. That way, when things don't always work out, you're more living by your values rather than living for one specific goal. But my question is, you mentioned like when you go and turn around a business and sometimes there's that, you know, that guy who's been doing all of the things, but not doing the right thing. So how do you discern between like, I'm just doing busy work and keeping myself and like, I'm getting to the end of the day, super tired because I've done everything, but instead focusing my energy on finding the right things to do.
Yeah. So it ties to that same thing. That value discussion is going to help you with that because you'll find that there's so many things in your life that you're doing that not aligned with that at all. And so I like to have a process. It's kind of based on this Japanese philosophy called 5S. It's used in a manufacturing environment. And so what you do to make it super highly efficient is you take a work cell. It's got machines and tools and a million different things to get the job done. You've got everything. You've got all the cabinets full of stuff, like everything. You should be able to pull off your job. You have every tool at your disposal. And so what you do is you take everything away. And then you bring back just what you need to perform the job. You put it at hands distance away. You mark it, make it clear. Like, this is where it's at. This is where it goes all the time. I use it every 30 minutes. So it goes right here. And then you keep doing that. And then you pull all the things that are there that you're using 95, 98% of the time. And you take out all the fluff, all the crap. And you'll find that you've got a room full of all this extra stuff that got pulled away, but now your activities are so clean and refined and distilled that your productivity goes through the roof. So in the turnaround work, you know, I would come in and the first thing I would do, well, I get trained up on the 50 million different reports that I've got to do and all this other stuff that, because I'm going to be buried neck deep in no time, just like they were. And I didn't do anything. Maybe a little bit of an overstatement, but not really, because I would spend those first couple of weeks really trying to understand the business, understand what the needs are, and also trying to find out what really needs to be done. And you'll find that so much of your time is filled with things that you're filling out reports or doing things and you're not using the data. No one else is using it. Step one, don't do anything. All right. Step two. Well, okay, it needs to be done. How do I automate this process? Every month, I got to pay my bills. Let's go in and set up bill pay, right? How do I remove these repeat tasks and make them so it's robotic so that it never has to be done? And sometimes you may have to get creative with that. And then the next step beyond that, all right, if this isn't a core piece of like who I am and what I want to do, like I need to have a creative outlet, and writing is a really important piece for me. So I'm going to spend time writing some emails or doing composing, whatever it is. But it may be something that isn't, that fits those. So what do? I outsource it. Or if you're in a role where you can delegate it, you maybe delegate it. But I try to automate things so that they work within the parameters of how I operate so that I'm working in a fashion that is best suited for me. So these aren't like life-changing things I'm sharing with you. These are just little minor nuggets, but they're ways of understanding the process. And that's a three-step process. Take everything away to discover what I actually have to do. You are going to be amazed at the crap and clutter you fill your life with these tasks and other things that you do. If you like doing it, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Just like, let's go in the physical performance realm. Okay. Everybody wants to know, it's like, well, how much stretching and mobility work do I need to do to counterbalance my strength training? My answer is none. And they're like, well, you're crazy. I'm like, well, how about doing less strength and training that you're not overtraining and putting yourself in a position where the muscles around those joints are tightening up to restrict your motion, because that actually doesn't happen unless you're moving poorly or moving beyond your capacity to recover from. So understand that you have either a movement problem or a training program problem. Fix those and you won't need to stretch. Me, you know, being somebody that was close to 300 pounds and squatting and deadlifting 1,000 pounds for reps, I can drop down and do nearly the splits with no stretching, because my movement patterns around the hip are very clean and refined. And I was training with a higher level of frequency and volume than anyone in the world has ever done to pull that off. And I stayed that way. All right. But if the relaxation, the meditation piece, those other things, then that feels good, then do that. But if you follow this approach, you're going to end up refining your training work, and you're going to cut out this extraneous, like 40 minutes of prep that you're doing for you're band-aiding. And in life, we're often just band-aiding lots of other things, and it's creating a lot of work. In the business process, like, oh, we've got to have all these people sitting here to do checks and balances to make sure all these forms coming in are input correctly and so on. It's like, well, how do we clean this up? How do we make it so that, you know, the data is entered correctly? And all of a sudden you'll see departments disappear and things like we build this around. The government's famous for this, right? But that's where these built-in inefficiencies come from. But that's your life. And you start taking that away and people like, you'll start accomplishing so much. People will look at you. You opened this
right
with Chris. You're a Renaissance man. I'm like, I build vehicles from the ground up, suspension and steering design. I design equipment. I lift at a top level. I'm with my family all the time. There's a whole, like a million things. And people are always like, how do you do it? How do you survive with no sleep? It's like, I sleep 9 hours a day, between 9 and 9.5. And I'm terrible at time management, but I get a lot done because I know exactly the way that I want to live, and everything is aligned with those values.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. I love that you said, you know, that concept of do less to do more and take away, right? Because automatically people want to make the most of their time. And what do they jump right to? Like do more, right? Like it sounds paradoxical to say like, stop doing so much to get things off your plate, but you need to clear the air a bit. And then those values that you were talking about in the beginning kind of become the lens through which you put things back onto your plate. If I'm getting that correctly.
That's correct. Or the lens of whether I do it or outsource it or delegate it, right? But wherever possible, try not to do it and try to automate it first. And then on step three, that's a choice of, you know, what are you going to do there, right? Is it something that falls in my plate or not?
Right.
And the lens, that's a perfectly, perfect way to approach that statement.
Right. One last other thing that I remember that you had mentioned this in the talk that you gave about time management, about kind of not having to even manage your time because of the way that you build your life, or, you know, and you mentioned that something that a phrase that you mentioned was total life alignment. And that one really like hit home for me. And I was wondering if you could just elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I mentioned early on some of my values: sense of family and community, continual learning, competition and challenge, creative outlets, all these tie together so that in my life, if you ask me what my job is, the best explanation I have is it is to be myself. It is, because my job may be, you know what, I need to take a break from these other things. I need my creative outlet and I'm out working on my rig. But maybe I'm taking some photos and doing some content of this as I'm doing vehicle design. But that fits exactly the things that I'm doing in life. And being able to design equipment it all allows for that creative outlet and the continuous learning. And then the culture, I purposely built the culture that I want to have surrounding me within our company and our company externally to the world. And so it has drawn the people that are my friends to it. And so I am surrounded. I have that within my life. So I don't have to go someplace else to chase having the hobby or the beers with friends or the training time. Like every aspect of what I do in my work is just literally my life. If I wasn't working, these were the things that would be the hobbies, that would be the things that I do. And so it is created, and this was a big driver for me early on. I was doing a lot of things and my kids were getting older and I was like, they're going to be getting in sports and other stuff and I have no time for that. What's got to give? Well, this high paying corporate executive job I had to give. And now I work harder than I've ever worked before, actually. But I have more time for my family than I've ever had, like hours more per day than I've had before. I woke up this morning, you know, and I go downstairs, I'm joking with my son, cutting up some bacon. I like to cut the bacon fat off and give it to my dog. My daughter's there. You know, before I'd wake up and I'd be out the door before anybody wakes up. So, you know, I spent a nice hour with the family this morning. I may have my wife join me for lunch, or I might go home instead of getting done and then trying to rush to the gym and get my training. And that's part of my workday. That's part of it. So not everybody can do what I've done. And I'm not suggesting that that's a plausible endpoint for many people, but I want to show you that there's a lot more that you can accomplish with alignment once you understand these things, that many of those other things fall away. And so that was my example. Earlier, I talked about the perfect squat versus effort versus perfect form. This is me chasing work and life balance. And most people think of that as moderation, and it's a takeaway. If I take away from here, I can and you end up less engaged actually in life, because that's your viewpoint and it puts you in the framework of that. And so you're performing less, you're engaged less, both at home and at work, you know, possibly because of that, instead of like being fully in and chasing those things and thinking about it as a one takes away from the other versus a, you know, a yin and yang where they're mutually involved with each other. I hope that articulates that to some level. I've taken that to quite an extreme that most people would not be able to pull off. But from that, you can still look at your life and see a lot of ways if you truly understand. So before, like my corporate career, I didn't have the creative outlet that I had to have. So I had to do that separately. I had my machine shop and I'd work on my projects. It'd be on the weekends, which take away from my family time. And then I had my training and competitive career at the gym that I owned. And it was all additive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that you explained that very well. And that's exactly what, you know, one of the things that fired me up the most when I first heard you talk about it. And to one point, to your point about like, yeah, not everyone can do that. And I mean, that is true to an extent, but I think it is also cool to see what is possible when you do things deliberately and with purpose, right? Like nothing of what you said happens by accident. Yes, most people will never do that, but that's because of the extreme level of, you know, it's the definition of working towards something, right? And putting in all of that upfront effort to build something and create something so that now you are reaping the benefits of 10, 20, 30 years of what you built. So yes, is it just possible for someone to wake up tomorrow and be in the position that you're in? Probably not, but to see that it is possible. And to me, the way you just described your life, you know, in the beginning there, we were just like, yeah, like I wake up, I do what I want, but it's like, what I want to do is work because my work is what I'm passionate about. And my passion about my work and all that stuff like that to me is an ideal life. Like that is exactly what I'm looking to do. And I told you this when we met is that after your speech, I was like, I'm going to go home and quit my job. And I literally did. And I'm actually stopped working at my full-time job that I was at for 8 years after I heard you speak because of that, because I was just like, I'm not in alignment with that. Like, it's like, yes, it's a job. It pays the bills, whatever, but it's not, I don't go there every day fired up to go there. And when I'm there, I'm just waiting for the clock to tick down. And now I'm building my life. And is it easy? No,
man, but And that's just taken away from your life. Think about all those years of like clicking the, and what does that do? My question for you, how does that affect the other parts of your life?
Right. That's what allows me to now pour into things that I'm actually passionate about. This podcast is my biggest passion project because this is how I can affect the most lives. And this is why I want to have people like you on to talk. It's because I want to spread the message that these things are possible. Who would have even thought that leaving a corporate job to become a tinkerer was a career path, but yet here you are with a bunch of Guinness World Records behind you and patents and things like that. So you are living proof. So I think it is, you know, I don't think it's for you to say, like, it's not like anyone has to follow your exact path, but I think it really is cool to hear your story, to know that there are different ways to live our lives and, you know, different ways to be happy. Cause what you've created to me is a perfect picture of, you know, what happiness is. And so I know I want to be respectful of your time. And there's just one question that I ask all my guests before they leave. And it's simply, if you could give listeners right now, one piece of advice to start living a healthier, happier life today, as soon as they take their headphones off, and it could be a mental thing, it could be a physical thing, it could be a tactical, it could be anything that you can think of, what would you tell them to help start living a healthier, happier life?
I think you told them already. It was a couple minutes ago. You said, what you can accomplish with purpose. So purpose and intent. The things that you're doing in your life, if you don't understand and it has a clear purpose, then you need to cut it out. So the things that you need to do, like you're doing your podcast, I've got purpose behind, and I'm going to be very intentful about what I do with this, because it allows me to share, it allows me to learn, I'm not going to do it half-ass. So there's so many things in your life. Let's take a look at it. Training. I go to the gym today and I've got 8 different exercises on my docket, 12 different exercises, because I read articles and saw videos and they kept adding. And it's like, I'm just kind of working through, and I'll catch it up later on the next. Why are you doing it? Why are you laying around rolling out your muscles or stretching, but you're just going through the motions? Unless you're doing it for a reason and you're doing it with very specific intent, get the results from it and do it. If not, cut it out, cut the half-ass shit. And you will go so much further in life by refining it down. And that ties to the same discussion we had on training earlier. But this is life, and so much. And this is ties back to the 5S-ing as well. That's a filter that you can use. Understand why you're doing the things that you're doing and do them with purpose and intent. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I love that. And exactly that, do it with purpose and intent. And that is a driver for everything in life. So Chris, I just want to thank you so much for your time and for being here on the show. And I appreciate you.
That's all for this week. Be sure to subscribe and follow the show so you don't miss a beat. And we'll be back next Wednesday with a brand new episode. Support the show by sending this episode to a friend or leaving a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Until next week, stay happy, stay healthy.